Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Rideau.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 55. Thank you so much for downloading, subscribing, writing us, and giving us a review. We ask you at the top of the show, please, if you can, go to iTunes and give us a review. You can give us any review that you deem necessary, but if you give us a five-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you.
Now, our topic today is romantic pairings. Now, we've talked about platonic pairings before, mm-hmm. like male-female platonic pairings. But what we want to talk about today is on-screen, specifically film,
yes.
romances that we thoroughly enjoy. Mm-hmm. We made a list together. Some are very me, some are us, some are very you. So
right.
there's a lot of stuff all over the place. But before we get to that, we had a listener suggestion to talk about what made our wedding nerdy.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because this person has no idea what our wedding was like. And I'm assuming. And so they're just assuming that our wedding was nerdy. But the thing is that some of it was. So they had a shot in the dark, but it was actually correct.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to talk about, there's a few things that we wanted to mention.
We didn't have a wedding where we were dressed up like Klingons or or like Han and Leia or anything like either. That would be awesome though, but nothing like that. Just like little things here and there.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
They were very us. So how about you talk about what happened at the reception?
Well, we wanted our first dance with our brides and maids and groomsmen to be something fun and something very us. And so one of our shared things that we love watching together has changed over time a little bit here, but was Quentin Tarantino movies back when he wasn't doing things that we didn't really like anymore. So we love Pulp Fiction, both of us do, and we ended up choosing the Chuck Berry song from Pulp Fiction, and we learned the dance and we taught it to our bridesmaids and groomsmen, and we were like hardcore about it, and we did that for the first dance when we were announced, which was really fun.
Yeah, it was something that we toyed around with for a long time,
and
it was something that we said like, should we do it, should we not do it? And it was, it's Chuck Berry's song, You Never Can Tell,
mm-hmm.
And we just found out that he just recently passed, and I immediately thought of our wedding.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm sad to hear that he passed, but it was cool that we have that connection to one of his greatest songs. And what we did was we couldn't just come out there and start dancing to his song.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Actually,
how did you forget? I kept wondering why I was. You kept going like, yeah, and we danced to Chuck Berry. I was like, no, there's so much more to that. So what we did was, I developed a file. Like I edited a file together where I took Etta James's "At Last" and cut it together with Chuck Berry's "You Never Can Tell." And the reason why I did that is because it is so. We kept having this joke about everything that was done at
cliche,
a wedding, everything
yeah.
that was cliche at
right.
a wedding, and one was their first dance being "At Last" with Etta James. Everybody knows that song,
right?
And I'm just so sick of going to a wedding and hearing that friggin' song. It's a beautiful song,
yeah.
I love it.
It just—it's been overplayed.
It's overplayed, and so what I did was we didn't have a band or anything. We had a band at the ceremony. Well, we had a string quartet at the mm-hmm. ceremony, but we just had a DJ. We didn't even have a DJ. We had a playlist at the reception.
Yeah.
But I created a file, so it started to play Etta James's "At Last," and then I brought you out on the dance floor, and it started to go,
mm-hmm.
and then it started to skip, and since it was a digital file, I made it sound like it was a corrupt MP3. Like, I didn't do like a record scratch or anything like that, because it was being played off of a computer. And I acted like, oh crap, I gotta go fix it. And so I started to walk away from you, and everybody's just like, oh, you know, like everybody was like super embarrassed for us. But then out of nowhere, you hear ding, 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 ding. And then Chuck Berry's You Never Can Tell started playing, and you and I started in on the dance. We did the...
Yeah, we kind of like, you were a little farther away from me, mm-hmm. and I was farther away, and like kind of like turned our heads towards each other and then just started dancing.
And we started getting closer. We were John Travolta and Mia Wallace and Uma Thurman, sorry. Mix those together. And we started dancing together, and we did the whole dance from the movie, mm-hmm. but then at a certain point in the song, when it kicks in again, we had the whole wedding party jump up and join us.
Yeah.
And
it was fun.
That was a lot of fun. Like, and we basically taught the dance, or at least types of the dance, like specific moves from the movie, to our wedding party right before the wedding started.
Right.
So they'd be prepared
at
the
rehearsal. At the rehearsal we did.
No, it was right before the wedding. We were in the basement before the ceremony. I promise.
No, because you would have seen me in my dress. It was at the rehearsal.
I thought you meant at the... Never mind. I thought you're... Okay. What I was saying was completely wrong. My brain thought I was saying something else.
That's okay.
I meant at the church.
Yeah.
Before the wedding, not the ceremony. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly.
So the night before.
Yes.
And like, everybody was a real great sport. And we have great friends and great family who joined in. And we have it all on video. but yeah, so that was one aspect that was nerdy. And one thing, actually, while I was thinking about this topic, one thing that popped up into my head was, and I'm so embarrassed by this. It didn't happen, but I'm so embarrassed that I even wanted to do something like this. I wanted to drop some funny lines in the vows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
I wanted to make them, I was like, I want to make them unique. You know, like, it's totally my style. I want to make them clever and funny. And you were pleading with me. You're like, Tristan, no.
This can only end poorly.
It's like, yeah, this is not going to
years
be
later,
good.
We'll be like, that shouldn't have happened. No. And that's why, yeah.
You said
I convinced
that.
You, yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, no, you didn't convince me.
I didn't?
No.
Oh, you were did not I just the say, one... I just said no.
No, you were not the one who convinced me. The Simpsons convinced
oh, that's
me
right.
not to do
I
it.
I forgot. Too.
Do you remember anything about our wedding?
It was too long ago. No, I do remember something. Some things are coming back to me now.
But yeah, like, but you were of course right. You said, you're like, Tristan, baby, no, you will look back on this and just shake your head in shame and go, no, why did I do this? And I'm so glad I didn't, because we had a very, very special wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
It was very touching. It was very emotional. God was there, and our family was there, and our friends were there, and it was a very good union. And obviously, but I kept I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I think I was going to make, like, nerdy references or something like that. And I watched a Simpsons episode, and they went to a wedding, and it was two young people. And I don't remember all of the jokes that they made, but they were clearly making fun of this couple. And the guy said, yeah, I just can't believe that, like, they say opposites attract, but we just work. I mean, I'm kind of a Starbucks guy, even though you're a Seattle's best kind of girl. And once I saw that, I was like, oh, crap, I want to be that douchebag by choice?
Yeah, not smart.
No, it was not smart.
You know, one thing that did slip in to our ceremony, which was nerdy, was, well, my grandfather actually married us, which is really special, too, because he's a pastor. And one thing as a little girl that I always wanted was for him to marry me in the church where I grew up. And that mm-hmm. happened, which was pretty awesome. And he, you know, when we were planning the ceremony, like, I kind of wrote it with him. And he was like, I want to put this one part in for Tristan, but I want to check with you first, because he was smart to check the bride. And so, you know, we get through the ceremony. I'm like, I wonder if Tristan will even notice. And what did he say?
well, I cannot remember exactly the preface, but like he was talking like it was a very serious ceremony, and he's a fantastic public speaker. Your grandfather has been the pastor of his church for 50 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 50 years.
Yeah, the same church.
Half a century at the same church being the spiritual leader. That's amazing. And as we're standing there and we're in front of everybody, he says, he's like, may you walk through life together, arm in arm. I'm completely making up these lines.
Into the sun, from sunset to sunset, something like that. Sweet.
Very, very sweet. He's like, just like wishing us a great life together. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, may you have a great life together and may you live long and prosper.
Yeah.
And he said it just like that. And there was this hush that went over the audience. And it took me a solid 3 seconds, like one, two, three. What did he just say?
And he also paused, too.
And he paused and stared at me.
Yeah.
Because he knew it was going to take me a second to get it. Because I'm in the zone here. I'm getting married. And I turned to him and I just start laughing. And then the whole audience starts laughing. And then I throw my arm around him and I say, I love you. I say this to the pastor who's marrying us, not my bride.
It was really cute. And everyone started laughing. It was really fun. I don't even know if you, maybe you do know this, but you said we had a string quartet during the ceremony. Well, I threw in some show tunes for them to play. One of them was from West Side Story, where they're like fake getting married. And it's a really pretty song. It's like one heart, one hand.
Oh my God. And no, I did not know
so
that.
So they like, cause they're like getting married and like she like tries on this like veil and he like has a hat and he's like pretending like, oh, let's get married. And you know, and then they're like, this is a moment where like, they're like the sun is like on them or like a spotlight.
No, I know the scene. Yeah.
Okay. And there's this really pretty song that they both sing to each other. And one heart, one hand, or something like that. And I snuck it in.
I can't believe that I didn't know that until just now.
No, and you were like, oh, that was so beautiful. Because it was during like a prayer. So it was under.
That was that song?
It was that song. So it was underneath this really pretty prayer he said, like the my grandfather like prayed for us. And that song was underneath it. And I was like,
I cannot believe you kept it a secret this long, because I've talked about that moment many times. It's kind of ruined that moment for me a little bit.
No.
Because I've referenced that moment where I was like, sweetie, you remember that moment when grandpa was praying and then we just had that moment where we looked at each other and you're like, yeah, sweetie, that was a great moment. And because what happened was we were holding hands. Grandpa was praying.
Like in the movie.
And I was... I was thinking to myself, it was kind of a self-actualizing moment where I was just like, wow, this is really epic right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm marrying the love of my life. You know, like, we have a seasoned professional marrying us, so somebody who we love. And I'm like, this epic string quartet is just doling it out. You know, fantastic. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Didn't you also mix in some Incubus, too?
We had some. So, as many songs that were like our songs that they could play. This quartet
was amazing because they said, like, just give us the music.
Yeah, and they would learn it.
And they'll learn it. Like, mm-hmm. like, give us some of the sheet music and we'll convert it to strings.
Mm-hmm.
And they were I wish I could remember their name so that we could promote them.
They were called Quartet Parapluie.
Well, there you go. Okay, you remember. You remember that, but you don't remember all the other stuff.
Isn't that life?
Say that again for everybody.
Oh, what?
The name of the...
Oh, Quartet Parapluie, I think it's what's called, yeah.
They service Northern Illinois.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. One other thing that was nerdy was your wedding present to me was the Starfleet insignia, the Delta Shield from Star Trek. You gave me those cufflinks.
Yeah.
And I wore those on the wedding day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very proud of those cufflinks. And whenever I wear a cuff shirt, I wear those.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
You have to. I mean, if you have Star Trek
cufflinks. I had those for like a year before we got married because we were engaged for a really long time.
A stupid long time. Yeah. Don't do it.
We wanted to have our life together before we got married. Well, that took us a long time.
It took longer. Yes, yeah.
We wanted to be financially stable.
I wanted a big boy job and you wanted your master's. And it took a while.
Yeah, exactly.
I had your engagement ring for a year.
Before I
asked you.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard. Strength, dedication, right? Knowledge and forethought. But yeah. So that was how, and we had some nerdy stuff. That was the biggest nerdy stuff that we had. And of course, you know, we had nerdy songs and everything like that. We walked into a Raconteur song, Jack White's band. We walked into Steady As She Goes.
Yeah.
Which I always think is funny. No one thinks that's funny except for me.
I know. It was just for you.
It was. It was completely, and it was the acoustic version.
Yes. Because I didn't allow the other one.
The awesome one. But yeah. My mom and I for the mother son dance.
Oh yeah.
We danced to a Woman in the Black Dress.
Yeah.
I cannot remember who sings it. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and the song, now I'm remembering more stuff. My song that I danced with my dad with was from the main song from Father of the Bride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We kept joking. We're like, you want to do Butterfly Kisses? Is that what you want to do?
No, Father of the Bride was a special movie in our home, so I think it made the most sense. And I can't listen to it anymore, though.
No.
Because I think of the moment where my dad was just, like, bawling and dancing with me.
Oh, he was crying hard.
Yeah. Well, you know what was mean was that he made, like, a slideshow of us as, like, kids, because that's, you know, very typical wedding-esque. And he had not seen it until right before he danced with me. And so he was like, oh, he's like, why didn't you show it to you beforehand? He's like bawling on the dance floor.
That was kind of mean. All right. Well, yeah. So like we could go on and on actually, because there was mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff, I guess. There was more than I thought. That was pretty nerdy about our wedding. But let us move on, because we're about 60 minutes in already.
Oh, nice.
Let us move on to our favorite romantic pairings on film. Like, as we said before, we did platonic pairings, but now we're talking about romance, people who are actually together. And so I just kind of want to jump around on this list a little bit. And basically, like, as we give this list, because we don't really do lists too terribly often, I want to talk about what makes a good romantic pairing. You know, like, why do we like them? What is it about them that likes them? And why do we as people, as audience members, not just the girl in Tristan, but as audience members, why do we invest so much of our own emotions in fictional characters that we only know for 2 hours? You know, that's something that, like, actually, let's start with that. Like, let's start with that. Why do you think
specifically romantic pairings or like just characters in general? Because that's a very weighty question.
It could be specifically broad, but okay. So let me narrow it a little bit. Why is it so important for us? When we watch a drama or a romantic comedy or something like that, when guy meets girl, girl meets guy, whomever, why is it important to us that they get together at the end?
Well, I think hopefully they've established that they're a good pair. And a lot of it, for me, at least on this list that we've made, I feel like you can see or you hope to see a part of yourself in that relationship if you have a good relationship, or it's kind of like that hope for the future if you are not in the relationship, where you're like, this is the ideal, you know, I want someone to do that for me, or I want someone to say that to me. So I feel like
hashtag goals.
Exactly. Except for I hate that you said that.
I can't believe it is
like a goal to achieve. It's like, okay, well, I want someone to be good to me in that way, or I want to have that experience, or I want to have a love like that. I feel like that's the most, is that we're looking for that when we watch a movie.
Okay, so it's that personal connection. It's not just entertainment. It's not just like, oh, because it makes a good story. It's that personal, intimate connection of, yeah, I have that with a girl, or before I met you, would be like, you know what? I want a girl just like that someday, where I can shower them like that with gifts and perfumes and lotions that get hot when you rub them. Sorry, I've started quoting Parks and Rec.
Oh, my God.
That is a satisfactory answer.
Well, I'm glad you accepted.
That's better than I thought, because I kind of put you on the spot. We didn't say that we were going to talk about that. Yeah, I like
what
that.
What makes a character a character? Because that's what you asked first.
That is not what I asked. I said it was like, why do we invest our emotions in characters?
Oh, okay.
In fictional characters.
It's still a weighty question.
Not what makes a character a character. All right, moving on. So, okay, here is... Okay, this can tie into a recent episode of Missing Frames, which is a show that you can watch on that what, you can watch. You can watch. Well, you can watch it. Not much is going to go on visually, but you could listen to it at the same time as you watch it on at thenerdparty.com. It's called Missing Frames. It's a great show where Sean Dorman, or Sean, like that's his online name, Sean Eastridge, he will interview people before they watch a movie and then interview them after they watch the movie. And it's a movie that is great or that they should have seen, or it's something where it's a movie where people go, what, you haven't seen that? That kind of
yeah.
film. And he just released one about Before Sunrise.
Yeah.
Which is one of our favorite films yeah. and one of our favorite couples of all time.
How can it not be?
Is Jesse and Celine.
Yeah.
And absolutely. We've talked about Jesse and Celine a lot.
Yeah, we have.
On the show.
And I think the thing that makes them special is their conversations, clearly.
Well,
because that's what
that's kind of the movie.
That's kind of the movie. But their conversations are, I feel like every person's conversation, or at least the way that they go about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the writing, for sure. And it's also those like little moments between the two of them, the little like glances and stuff yeah. like that, where you feel that. Especially in the first one, where you feel that connection of like the first time you met someone that you were really interested in,
mm-hmm.
Where you thought something could go, you know, the way, you know, possibly become permanent.
Yeah.
And you know, throughout the progression, I actually the was it Before Midnight
was the last one.
Yeah, we had a lot of personal connections to that one too, because it was funny the way they fought and. Yeah. Yes, we do fight sometimes on their nuptial.
The internet's like, see, it ain't so.
And it was just funny to see, like, the love that exists between them, even though they're fighting.
Yeah.
And that, like, miscommunication between men and women and stuff like that, which was, it was entertaining because you're like, it was almost to a point where it was uncomfortable because you're like, oh my gosh, I've had that conversation.
Well, I'm really glad that you phrased it that way, because with what you said earlier about how we see something of ourselves
yeah.
in these characters and these fictional characters, and we want the good things and we want to strive for those good things if we don't have them. You know, with Before Sunrise, it was all rainbows. It was puppy love.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful and it was lovely and it was early 20s and mm-hmm. it was just pure. It was just pure.
Yeah.
And so everybody can relate to it because we've all been there. We've all been on that walk on the beach or that walk around town where you're really getting to know someone.
Yeah.
No matter who they are, you can relate to that kind of relationship because we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't, you've fantasized about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Before Sunset, things get more complicated. You know, like it's, you know, you try to figure out they've lived their lives. They've gone through some things, but they still have that connection. And we've all reconnected with someone. We've all wondered what our lives would look like if we took the road less traveled, you know, if we took a left instead of a right, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then once we get to Before Midnight, that's the first time we see them really fight.
Yeah.
And it's a hard fight. And you mentioned that, you know, like you see the love that they have for each other. That's true, but at the same time you see them get vicious.
Yeah.
And
that happens.
And that's the thing. That happens. And I think that's why it was so entertaining for us is and embarrassing was because we connected with them so much in Sunrise and Sunset and all the good times that you have to connect with them in the bad times mm-hmm. as well.
It's true.
And we saw so much of ourselves in that. Like you and I were just kind of slack-jawed looking at each other like, we've had this fight.
Yeah.
We have communicated this way. I have been sarcastic like Jesse was there. You
yeah.
have been vindictive like
yeah.
like
no,
Celine
it's
was.
True. It was almost like eerie
yeah.
in a way. It was like, whoa. And that's why I think why we started laughing
mm-hmm.
is because we were like, oh gosh, we've had that fight.
And Lee Hutchison, who loves these films. Like,
mm-hmm.
I talked to him about them a lot. I once told him after we saw Before Midnight, we talked and I said, I was like, oh yeah. Like if you ever wonder what the girl and I look like when we fight, just watch Before Midnight. He says, that's what a lot of people look like. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, even if it's not verbatim, even if it's not one-to-one, everybody can find something
yeah.
in common with him. And that's what, I think that's what makes a great relationship is that commonality.
Oh yeah.
And even if you're not exactly like Jesse and Celine, there are moments in these movies where you're like, been there.
Exactly. I completely agree. Yeah. Yeah, I love that pairing so much. And so that's why we connect to them. Let's look at another one. I really enjoy the pairing of Lucy and Jack from While You Were Sleeping.
That's so obscure.
Like, I know. It really is.
Like, I'm with you. Like, I think that's great. I love Lucy and Jack. And for those of you who haven't seen While You Were Sleeping, come on.
It's a like, 90s classic.
What are you doing with your life? I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix right now. It's a great Christmas film. But it's not just Christmas.
Like, we've talked about it before.
Yeah. Like last Christmas, we talked about it, about mm-hmm. how it's one of the best romantic comedies out there.
Yeah.
And it's got Sandra Bullock. Of course, it's going to be a fantastic romantic comedy.
Of course.
But I like that one just because it's so, you will never get a romantic comedy like While You Were Sleeping ever again.
Like, yeah. They would never make it again like that, you know.
That era is over.
Yeah. That 90s era of like the pure romantic comedy,
yeah,
where they don't really have to add any sex into it or anything like that, or
like that's the thing. It's yeah. pure of heart. Like, if they made it today, they would have met at a bar, got wasted, had a one night stand, and then tried to figure out how they could get together.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like that,
it would be very different.
That's
it's
what
true.
It would be.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, I love the awkward conversations they have together, and like, I think they're just adorable together because they. You know, it's more of a friendship start than anything.
I mean, it's about family.
Yeah, I think the shared, like, the family connection, too. Yeah. Like, where everyone, I feel like everyone has some type of variation of that family.
Oh, yeah.
Too. So I think that connection is also really strong.
And I think why we like the pairing is because of that pure feel, that
yeah.
innocent feel. It was a different time, and it was just so wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, like, Sandra Bullock, Lucy was on her own, didn't have any family, her father died, and she was just on her own, you know, like
yeah.
she was a happy person, but she was just alone, and then she had no family, then all of a sudden, just not even overnight, just instantly, boom, she inherited this amazing family, and then inherited an amazing husband.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the hijinks that ensue, and so I think that's why we like them so much.
Speaking of 90s, Barbara and Alan from Beetlejuice, we really like that pairing too, because of the fact that they are like homebodies and they love to stay at home and like just, you know, like their vacation is like staying at home and like hanging out together. And I think that that's amazing.
I freaking love Beetlejuice, but it was 80s.
Oh, it was.
It was 1988.
Oh, sorry.
So it was late 80s.
Okay.
Jeez, girl, come on.
Well, suck. Okay.
But no, yeah, it's just we connect with him so like on a very real level, where that moment when they're dead and they're trapped in the house, and Gina Davis's character is going like, I wonder why we're here, like what, like why are we stuck here, what's the purpose, and he goes, maybe this is heaven. And he's
yeah.
completely serious.
Yeah, just heard him.
It's just the two of them at home
exactly.
hanging out. And I'm
exactly.
like, yeah, that sounds nice.
Also, I love, like, on their vacation, they're like, how they die. They're like, okay, well, I guess we have to go into town.
Like, so
crazy. Just down the street.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's us a lot, too. We're like, oh, do we have to go out of the house?
We have to go four blocks down.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well,
you choose one.
Okay, I will choose one that's mine, that is very much mine.
Yours alone, probably.
Yes. Okay, so Armand and Albert. Do you know those names?
The Birdcage.
That's right, yes,
yeah.
Birdcage.
Yeah.
It's Nathan Lane and Robin Williams.
Yeah, that's fun.
I love this movie. And that's one of the things, that, like, as I'm looking at this list, I'm like, do I love these pairings or do I just love that movie?
It's true. That's a distinction you have to make, for sure.
Because some of these I might discuss or like scratch off because I'm just like, okay, do I love these characters? Like, do I love the pairing or do I just love the movie so much that I think about them?
Mm-hmm.
But Armand and Albert is a pairing that I love so much. It's like they're two men who own a nightclub. And for those of you who don't know the story, they have to pretend to be straight for the night because their son Mary is engaged to a girl who has a conservative senator as a father, and he's up for re-election, and so they don't want to, you know, make any waves or anything like mm-hmm. that. And it's just crazinesses go on, and Nathan Lane's very effeminate, and so he has a hard time. You know,
well, like, they have a drag club, right?
They own a drag club, and so like it's just two complete opposite worlds that just collide. And even though Armand and Albert can get kind of mean to each other sometimes, like they can say some hurtful things, they can be sarcastic, they can have some they can jab some barbs and everything like that, it's even though that happens, there's so many moments where you realize that they were meant to be together, and that they're wholesome, and that, like, there's that scene where they're sitting on the bench, and like Nathan Lane's character keeps saying that he's just a second class citizen to him, that he's really it's his show and his club, and mm-hmm. you know, and everything like that. And then he Robin Williams offers him the Palimony Agreement and says he's like, I'm giving you half of everything I own. He's like, well, I don't want all this. And he's like, well, take it all. It doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is that you're there when I come home, or like everything that matters is because you're involved with him. And I love that moment.
Yeah, it's a really good moment.
It's definitely a real moment.
I feel like that moment stands out to me a lot when I think of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll pick another one.
Okay.
So this one is something that I think you and I don't know how you feel about this one.
Okay.
It's from a movie that we both love.
Okay.
It's probably one of our favorite movies. It's definitely in the top five, I think.
Okay.
Might be your top one. I don't know. But I don't know how we feel about the pairing. I just instinctively wrote them down, and that's Mikael Blomqvist and Lisbeth Salander from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you think of that pairing?
I understand why you're wondering how I feel about it, because I think I like them more as partners than mm-hmm. necessarily...
Sex partners.
Yes. Although there are moments, especially in the David Fincher film, where like we love like when they're on the bed together and she's like, put your hand underneath my shirt, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like there are moments, but at the same time...
It's much more innocent than it sounds.
Yeah, I know. That's true. When I said that, you're totally right. It's her back. Never. Oh, gosh.
You're blushing.
Stop.
No, she was.
I do that all the time.
You got to worry about phrasing.
I know. My phrasing's terrible sometimes.
But no, like she was on the computer laying on the bed, and then he kind of jumps down and like snuggles up next to her, and then he puts his hand on her back underneath his shirt, and then he takes it away for a second, and then she stops talking what she's talking about. She's like, put your hand underneath my shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just.
But I think the reason why I do like them together is because he completely 100% trusts her mm-hmm. and values her, and
in a world that doesn't value her.
Exactly. And I think it's one of the probably the first men that actually, other than like, you know, her
her boss,
her caretaker.
Oh, right.
Or like her caretaker, yeah, yeah, like who she's a ward of, who actually like values her and sees her potential and mm-hmm. sees
her first caretaker.
Right, yeah, no kidding. Her, you know, her potential and like how gifted she is. Mm-hmm. And you know, like when she asks for the money, he immediately gives it to her because he just is like, okay,
yeah,
you know, I trust you. And I think that just like the pairing of they trust each other and the power that he gives her, I think that's the main thing that I like about it.
You hit it on the head there. For me, is that it's a good, they're a good pairing. They work well together, mm-hmm. and that's the basis of their relationship. And it was a partnership that turned into something sexual and then something romantic. And at first, I had a lot of conflicting feelings about this movie when I first watched it. And we've talked about this a lot. Where I watched it, didn't like the movie, did not like them together. When they slept together, I was just like, what? This is stupid. This is forced. This is weird. And somehow, for some reason, when I watched it a second time and I watched it with you, everything clicked. Everything turned around. And I was just like, wow, this movie is amazing. And then I was like, wow, this pairing really works. And so even though I do like them as partners more than a romantic pairing,
mm-hmm.
I still like them as a romantic pairing because of everything that you just said. is that she, this movie is about violence against women and about how the horrible choices that men make and some the evil choices that men can make and the women who suffer because of them. And in a world where she is surrounded by toxic masculinity and rape and violence and assault and just all of the horrible things in this world, he comes along and takes her at face value and says, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, like, I feel like she's able to rise up to become the amazing person that she always has been. You know, it's not necessarily like him rescuing her.
Right.
Because she rescues him. So, you know, in the way, but he was able to acknowledge how amazing she was. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's that nice cooperation within their relationship.
And he's not threatened by her intelligence.
Exactly.
Her abilities,
so, right. Because that clearly happens too. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I think we landed on a good place with Mikhail and Lisbeth.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one. Actually, this one, I'm going to bring this one up.
Okay.
Because I think this is one that I'm going to scratch off.
Okay.
Because it's just a pairing that I like because of the movie. Like, if you put a gun to my head and said, Tristan, what is your favorite movie of all time? Kingdom of Heaven, Director's Cut.
Yeah.
Love the movie. It's a beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite film. And the couple in it is played by Orlando Bloom and Ava Green, and it's Baelian and Sibylla. And I like them together because I don't really like Orlando Bloom that much, but I like him in this movie.
Okay.
And so that, I think, because he's that character, and because that character got me to like Orlando Bloom's performance, I connected with him, and Ava Green is Ava Green, and I really like her. but I think there are certain times when you said earlier about like when we see ourselves and the people or we see that connection with Baelian and Sibylla, when I see them together, when they first get together and the seduction and the surrender, there was a lot that I saw between the two of us. When I chased after you and when we finally got together and we both said, not out loud, but just figuratively, we're just like, okay, let's do this. You know, like it was that moment of surrender where we're just like enough flirting around, enough like will they or won't they, like we, you know, we're together.
Mm-hmm.
There was that moment, there was that buildup in this film, and I think the movie did that very well. And so because I linked the two of them in my mind with the two of us, and so I like them, but for the rest of the film, or even at the beginning, I'm just kind of like, they don't really focus on the relationship.
Yeah, they don't as much. But I know what you're talking about. I think there is that feeling of like that passion, I think, mm-hmm. is what you're talking about.
Why could I not think of the word passion? But that's totally what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Another movie like that where I don't think they're necessarily 100% focused. Maybe I'm wrong. But in Meet Joe Black, the two characters, I feel like there's so many moments between the two of them where I can relate to their romantic moments, but as characters together, I'm maybe just okay with, like, they don't necessarily stand out to me, but those moments stand out to me.
Yes.
Where like they first meet, you know, that kind of meet cute, I guess is what people, you know, say, where, you know, like they're flirting like for hours in this coffee shop. You know, we've all had that moment where we're just mm-hmm. like, wow, I'm just totally into this person and the conversation is just flowing and stuff like that. And then also like their, you know, their sensual moments too is just very pure of what you'd hope, you know, a sexual moment would become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make love.
Yeah.
And they make love on film. And I've talked about this before about how I think it's beautiful. I don't like gratuitous, like just last episode, I talked about how TV and film is just becoming inundated with gratuitous sex and vulgarity. And I have no problem with sensuality, sexuality, even nudity on film. I just don't like it to be gratuitous or vulgar. And Meet Joe Black is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
Meet Joe Black is beautiful.
Yeah.
Meet Joe Black is is like, if you've never, like, the first time I saw it, I never had sex before.
right.
You know, yeah. I was a virgin.
No. Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Like screw the magazines that you see at the grocery store. You know, like screw the crap you see on the computer. All of that horrible nonsense that you hear about at school. None of that. I didn't want any of that. But once I saw Meet Joe Black, I was like, I want to connect with my wife that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shaped the I don't know, the way that I wooed you, basically.
Yeah.
Because, well, my parents had obviously a much bigger impact on how I treat women or how I treated you. But I watched Meet Joe Black with my parents the first time. And most of the time, like, you'd think, like it,
watching a sex scene with your parents is not exactly comfortable.
No, it's right, not. It's a stereotypical uncomfortable moment.
Exactly.
But when I watched that with them, I didn't feel awkward. They didn't feel awkward. I thought I saw my dad shed a tear when the scene went on. And then after it was done, like, they said, they're like, wow, that was so beautiful. And my parents are very conservative parents.
Yeah.
And just for them to admit that and have their son be in the same room and not feel anything weird, that's a special moment. That's a special movie.
Yeah. And there was really no nudity. No. If you think about it, it was like, I mean, it was all,
no, it was,
you're right. But I'm just saying it was not gratuitous in nature. No.
It was an in-your-face sex scene.
Oh, yeah. No, it was.
But it was not gratuitous.
It was done well.
It was done well. And so, yeah, I think that's one of those pairings, and I'm glad that you brought them up.
Because I don't think, you know, sometimes I feel like there are moments instead of just the couple. Like, sometimes you can take or leave the couple, but those moments, you're like, yes.
Just like Kingdom of Heaven and like Meet Joe Black. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. I think another time, maybe not so much the moments in this, and it's not so much the characters. It's not like we see ourselves in those characters, but I think it's the type of devotion that the characters give.
Yeah.
I think that's very key for a romantic pairing for me, is devotion and loyalty. And I'm not just talking about monogamy. I'm talking about true loyalty and giving yourself to another person fully. And that was very much made apparent in The Fountain.
Yeah, that was the one I wanted to end on. that one's special to us for sure. We can't watch that movie.
No, it's too
it's too personal. It's too, like, emotional for us.
We can't even listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, we have it on vinyl now.
Weeping.
And it's just it was really early in our relationship when we watched it. And I think we've said before, another thing nerdy about our courtship is that my engagement ring has Shababa Is Waiting, which is significant to the movie because it basically means that, you know, we're going to be together forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the afterlife.
In the afterlife, too. And, you know, that's what this kind of deals with, is this man's devotion not only to his wife when she's living, but when she's gone.
When she's gone.
And this struggle to get to her again after she's passed on.
The baby's in the background. I don't know if you can hear or not. She's waking up. But yeah, it's just, you've heard us talk about The Fountain a lot, and you have Izzy and Tommy, and it's a relationship where, you know, he's a doctor, she has cancer, he's trying to literally cure her so that he can stay with her and she can stay with him. And when that doesn't, this is, I'm not spoiling anything, but when that doesn't work, he continues on to, like, he solves the mystery of death.
Yeah.
So that he can find her in the afterlife.
And travels to her, you know, in a spaceship, which is just freaking awesome.
I know. And so, like, if it sounds ridiculous, it is.
Yeah, it is, but it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, and it's mythical, and you need to watch it to experience it. That's the thing. The Fountain is an experience.
You have to be in the right frame of mind, too, to watch it. Because you have to kind of just be like, okay, this is going to be a ride of, you know, and it was also really emotional.
Yeah.
there
she goes again. Okay, well, I think she's trying to tell us that we better wrap up. I had a few more on the list where, like, I wanted to talk about Nick Cage and Meg Ryan and City of Angels. I want to talk about Paul and Chaney from Dune and Chris and Annie from What Dreams May Come. I know that may sound like a weird thing because Annie killed herself in What Dreams May Come. But, you know, they talk about it in the afterlife. They're actually literally in heaven and they talk about it and make it all okay. But anyway, I think we should probably wrap that up. So, we want to thank everybody for continuing to write us emails and give us show suggestions. I mean, you heard our baby in the background, and a lot of you have been asking about Ripley and how she's doing and how she's feeling after she's been in the NICU. And so we really do appreciate that. And we want you to write us. We want you to continue to write us by going to the nerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. That'll send us an email. And please find us on Twitter. You can go to twitter.com/joinnerdparty. You can also find my personal Twitter at TheInsaneRobin. And please go to our Facebook. There's a lot of stuff on there. All of our shows, some cool articles, and everything like that. Please go to facebook.com/TheNerdParty and give us a like, and you'll have a great time. And please check out all of our other shows at thenerdparty.com. Well, just like Ripley loves us, I love you.
I know.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night and still have begged for more.
You have a beautiful voice.
I could have spread my wings and run a thousand things I never done.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.